the Lord hath made.
Because
He's made every day. Hallelujah. I will be glad.
I won't be sad.
I won't be mad. I'm a glad you see, and not a sad you see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're the biggest threat to hell there's been since the resurrection. You're sleeping giants, and God is waking you up, and the devil's scared stiff you're going to wake up. When we begin to realize who we are, and what we are, and what we have, and what we can do in Christ, there's no holding us back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother McCurry read us a scripture last night. All things are yours. That's been one of my favorites for years, and it shakes people because they want to confess poverty. We've got to get rid of that poverty mentality. We've got to get rid of that dust mentality. Arise, shake thyself from the dust. Get rid of that dust mentality. Get rid of that poverty mentality. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We are rich beyond compare. God wants you to be rich. I hear people say, well, that doesn't mean to say you're going to be a millionaire. Oh, dear God, hallelujah. The more you have, the more you can give. Hallelujah. The more you have, the more you can give. You have to see yourself writing out checks for $10,000. As a young man, he wants to go to China, so you go up and say, here's $25,000, off you go. Hallelujah. That's how it's done. You see, that's how it's done. In the early church, in the book of Acts, it says, and there was not one that lacked. Not one that lacked. Hallelujah. No lacking in the kingdom. Glory be to God. We are kingdom livers. When we come together, we're church. Hallelujah. Here comes Brother Ken. I said, when we come together, we're church. That's what church means, coming together. But you're not living church. And this is the problem, that people are trying to live a church life in the world. There is no such thing as a church life. We're kingdom livers. Every day we're living kingdom. Glory be to God. We are... I hope it gets on to it before we leave. He's got Jolja on his mind. Hallelujah. And but when he gets into the sons of the kingdom, kingdom sons, that's different than sons of God. They're not separated, but they are distinct, like the Trinity. They're not separated, but they're distinct. And when we get into sons of God and sons of the kingdom, it will really bless you. I'm not going to be long, because we want to give Apostle McCurry all the time. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, 2 book of Chronicles, chapter 5. Chapter 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. A scripture familiar, I believe. For some of you it won't be, but for the so-called old-timers, I'm not an old-timer, I'm a new-timer. Somebody said to me, well, I'm New Age. I said, well, I've been New Age for years. Glory be to God, hallelujah. They said, well, what denomination do you belong to? I said, what denomination do you belong to? Well, I'm Assembly of God, me too. I belong to God and I'm in His assembly. I'm Salvation Army, me too. I've got salvation in me and I'm in God's army. Well, I'm a Methodist, me too. I believe in God's methods. Hallelujah. Well, I'm an Anglican, me too. I speak English. Well, I'm Baptist, me too. I've been down the water and been dipped. Glory to God. Whatever you are, I am. And one man said, well, I'm a Latter-day Saint. I said, me too. I'm a saint living in the latter days. Glory to God. We are all things to all men. Come on now. Peter said, I've learned to call no man unclean. God doesn't deal with you according to labels and tickets. Glory be to God. He deals with you because He loves you. Yeah. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. Coming down to Well, let's just get our bearings so we know where we're going. Somehow I got back into chapter 3. Chapter 5. They brought the ark into the Holy of Holies. Verse 8. And the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves there above thereof. And they drew out the staves of the ark, so that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle. That means they weren't this way. They were this way. As they drew them out, came. You know, all these pictures you see of them carrying the ark are so unscriptural. The ark was not carried with God on the side. When they carried the ark, his presence was facing forward. And when they pulled those staves out, and they were long enough for 120 priests to carry them, glory to God, they weren't little staves, and they drew them out, the ends could be seen out in the holy place. They came out under the curtain. That's just by the by. But now the ark is in place. This is the dedication day. Glory to God. And they drew out the staves of the ark, and the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, that they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. And there was nothing in the ark, save the two tablets, which Moses put therein at Horeb. The golden pot of manna is gone. Hello? Aaron's rod that budded, blossomed, and bore fruit is gone. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion. David helped himself to those things. David wasn't interested in the tablets of Moses, but he sure was interested in that incorruptible manna, and he was interested in that rod. He said, thy rod, thy staff comforts me. Hello. Send out thy rod out of Zion. Aaron's rod, the rod of life. Hallelujah. Send out thy rod out of Zion. David had helped himself to the manna. Read it in the Psalms. You'll find what David did. He not only helped himself to shewbread, but he went beyond, dipped into the ark, and helped himself to the incorruptible manna. Yes. Glory to God. Okay. And it came to pass, everybody say, it came to pass. That when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites were the singers, all of them, of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun. And if you read back in 1 Chronicles, the last final chapters, you'll find there were 288 singers. 288. That's twice 144. You can't escape numbers in the Bible. You can't escape. Two companies of 144 each. And by the way, there were women in this group who ministered unto the Lord. We forget that. Wow. Glory to Jesus. Ladies, you have suffered long at the hands of the male. But I've got to tell you, the church could not operate without women. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. After God, well, in Genesis you read, when God created things and made things, it says, and it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. But after Eve comes on the scene, she's the final act of creation. And by the way, God never called her Eve. God never called her woman. Adam called her woman.
And she's called Eve after the fall by Adam. God called her Adam. He called their name Adam. She was Mrs. Adam and he was Mr. Adam. Hallelujah. When Adam looked at Eve, he saw himself. When Eve looked at him, she saw herself. When that word says helpmeet, I was having a discussion with a rabbi one time in Israel, and he said, there's no English word, he said, that really brings out the force of the Hebrew. Helpmeet is okay, but it's not bringing out the force. So I suggested a word to him, now that we've entered into the age of computers. And I gave him this word, and he said, that's it. Mirror image. She was the mirror image of him. Wow. Mirror image. Together, they were the high priest of creation. So we had these women singers among the males here. They were called Levites too. They were daughters of Levi. And they were arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps. And they stood at the east end of the altar. And with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. So you've got 288 singers and 120 trumpeters. You've got psalteries, you've got harps, and you've got other musical instruments. I want you to get the picture. Now, listen to what it says. And when it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. They didn't say all the time. He is good, for his mercy endureth forever. They just kept singing that together. And the voices and the musical instruments and the 120 trumpeters came into one sound. Amen. Came into one sound. That is, they had moved out of the natural and they've now gone into the supernatural. Hallelujah. It is totally humanly impossible for two musical instruments to give the identical sound, so that you can't distinguish them. If we had 120 trumpets here, you'd be able to hear each one individually, even though they're playing the same melody in the same key. But here, something happened, and this is the first time we have it in the Bible. They made one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Everybody bow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have missed thee. Glory to, it's nice to be missed. Glory to God. Now look what happened. This is a prelude to the day of Pentecost, when we have 120 in the upper room, and when they were one accord. That's a musical term. For 10 days, all they had been doing was praising God. And they came into a unity. How did they get there? They were such a motley crew in that upper room. Now, there was Peter. And so James is saying to John, we can't have him as the chairman of the board. I mean, 6 weeks ago he was cursing and blaspheming. He took a sword, he wanted to kill a man. He's got a murderous spirit. He chopped off his ear. Hello? Jesus had to put it back on again. How can you have a man like that? He's up one day, down the next. You can't have a man like that. And there's Peter talking to Matthew and saying, hey, Matt, now we've got to watch James and John. They're ambitious. Remember how they got on the sly and got their mother with them and went up to Jesus and tried to get the chief seats in the kingdom. They're ambitious. We've got to watch them. We've got to really keep our eye on those guys. There's Bartholomew, and he's talking to Nathaniel, and he says, Nate, we got to get this place. You know, we've got to be a pure organization. And there's old Matthew over there, Jewish mafia. Used to take bribes. Tax collector. I mean, what kind of reputation are we going to have as an organization when we're just trying to get started? Well, then there's Philip. He's talking to Jude, and he says, Jude, we can't have women like Mary Magdalene in our group. She will bring us a reputation. And what will they be saying about us with her? That she's our woman? Now, we've got to keep this thing clean. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, this is the crowd in the upper room. Each one of them. And we're no better. How did they get into this one accord? How did they get into this unity? Yes. They were continually blessing, it says, and praising God. And when you are continually blessing and praising God, your eye is off yourself, it's off your brother, it's off your sister, and it's looking on Jesus, and then a healing begins to take place, and God begins to blend your spirit with your brother and sister's spirit until you are one. And when they became one, hallelujah, they created a vortex and it had to be filled. And said, suddenly there came a sound, a blast from heaven, like the sound of a rushing mighty wind. The Japanese Bible has, like a typhoon. It came sweeping into that room. It had to be filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah, we know the rest of the story. But what I want to come to is this story here. When they made one sound to be heard in praising and thanking God, look what it says happened. That then the house was filled with a cloud. They haven't seen this cloud since it left them in the days of Joshua. The cloud has come back again. The cloud that filled Moses' tabernacle. The cloud that led them out of the wilderness. It was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Cloud filled the house. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There's something when we begin to worship in praising and thanking God, whether you feel like it or not, as we touched on it last night, blending with your brother and your sister, listening to them, not trying to outdo them, but harmonizing together and coming into that one accord, anything can happen. I'm going to share a story with you and then finish. 1973, I was ministering at a FGBMFI luncheon in the Holiday Inn in Ventura, California, right on the coast. And in that crowd after the luncheon, there was an English woman, I didn't know, And she was a reporter for one of the newspapers, and she'd come to write an article that was not going to be favourable. And she's sitting there, and I was teaching on praise and worship, and we got the people to stand and begin to sing in the Spirit, just singing hallelujah, praise the Lord, God is good. And suddenly, or gradually actually, we came into that one sound. It was awesome. And all of a sudden she screams at the top of her voice, "I'm healed! I'm healed!" As a little girl, she was raised in London, and she wasn't one of the children that left London because of the bombings. And one night a bomb exploded in the street behind their house, and her left eardrum was burst. So she was totally deaf in her left ear for the rest of her life. God had healed her. She could hear out of her left ear. Well, guess what? The article she wrote for the newspaper wasn't against us. It was for us. Now, one of the directors for the West Coast was at that luncheon, and he came up and he said, "Bishop, how long are you going to be around here?" I said, "Oh, about a couple of weeks." He said, "We're having a regional banquet in San Diego in next Saturday evening. Could you be there?" He said, "We already have a speaker, but," he said, "I'd like you to get up and share. Could you do that?" I said, "Yes, Pete, I'd be glad to come." So I went down there with friends, and it was in the El Cortez Hotel, and that was later taken over by Brother Morris Cirillo and used as a Bible school. But this was one of the hotels of San Diego at the time. First building in the world to have an outdoor elevator. And that's another story in itself, how that happened. So we're there at the banquet, 1,500 people in the ballroom, the banquet that night. So I get up, have about 10 minutes to share. So I started sharing on praise and worship and the one sound. And we got everybody to stand. They began to sing. And we hit that one sound again. Awesome. When suddenly there appeared in the midst a cloud of incense, a pillary cloud of incense. And people could smell it everywhere. Because I praise with my eyes open. I watch. The shepherds watch their flocks. Glory to God. Jesus said, "Watch and pray." Amen? Nowhere in the Bible says you've got to close your eyes to pray. That's another tradition. You never will know what you might miss. So anyhow, I'm watching, and people begin to dance, and this cloudy pillar of incense, bluey white, and the waiters, oh dear God, are trying to clear the tables. So they're taking dishes and on trays. They didn't see the cloud of incense or smell it. And as they tried to walk through it, they went backwards and dishes are flying everywhere, breaking on the floor. People are dancing. And I'm looking up and there's an old man, elderly man, white skin like marble, black bushy eyebrows, snowy white hair down to his shoulders, black suit, white shirt with cuffs, and he's dancing in the front of the platform, but his feet are not on the ground. He's gliding like a bird, up and down, back and forth, and the praise and the sound is getting higher and higher, and suddenly there's a scream at the main doors. Brother Pete said to me, "Domenico," he said, "I'm going down there to put a stop to that." I said, "Pete, I wouldn't if I were you. No, can't have that going on." So he went down. When he came back, his face was ashen white. He said, "God just healed that man. He came in here in a wheelchair. And here he's a young man. Here he is jumping 6 feet high in the air and screaming at the top of his voice, 'I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed.'" Glory to God. No one touched him. But a leaf off the tree of life landed on him. Glory be to God. Now, look around. An old beard, he's gone. By the way, he had a long, white, pointed beard down to his belly button. He's gone. God moved in. By the way, the scheduled speaker never got to speak that night. Was he mad with me? I didn't speak more than 10 minutes. God took over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, a few weeks later, I'm back in that area again at Knottsbury Farm for their chapter meeting, dinner. Who should walk into the meeting? The young man in the wheelchair and the man who wheeled him in. And he gave his testimony. He'd been held up one night. He owned a gas station, a service station. And after they'd finished robbing him, they made him lie down on his stomach and then they shot him in the back with a rifle, shotgun. His spine was smashed. Never walk again. But a leaf. Well, the people started going crazy. They were worshipping and praising. And who should appear up in the meeting again but Beardy? That's the only way I can call him, Beardy. Well, everything's going fine. I haven't seen Beardy since 1973. But then last year, Feast of Tabernacles, Brother McCurry's, Beardy turns up. Hasn't changed. Still in the same suit. Same garments. Same black bushy eyebrows. Same long pointed white beard. That's another story. We could keep you all down that one. And he spoke. He stood behind Brother McCurry. Had his hands up. Like this, facing the crowd. And he spoke to young Paul, Jack Paxton's partner. What's Paul's other name? You don't remember. I don't either. But he spoke to his wife. He looked at her. Now, I had shared this story that morning for some unknown reason with Jack and with Paul. They didn't share it with their wives. And he said, tell Greg and Abigail that the tragedy that they have experienced is not a punishment from me. Well, I said, when she came and told me that story, I said, this is God. We've got to wait for Brother McCurry. So we waited till he arrived on his little machine that he drives down the church. When got him at the door he comes in by. He doesn't come in by a special door, just another door. And I told him what had happened. Well, he said, Greg and Abigail are not going to be here this morning. But they came that night. And that night we shared that story with them. You were there. Oh, how precious. Old Beardy turned up. He's likely to turn up here. You know, these angels can travel all kinds of places. Now, you see, you've got your idea with angels with wings and long white robes and, you know, halos and carrying a stick with flowers on it and, you know. Well, this one, black bushy eyebrows, snowy white hair, marble white skin, shiny, glory to God, dancing like a seagull. This is where we're heading. This is where we're heading. This is the secret of praise. This is why we praise and give thanks, to bring us into that unity. Where your eyes are not looking at one another. Well, somebody didn't speak to me when I went to church last Sunday, and I'm hurt. Well, get above it. Start giving God praise and thanks. That's a sacrifice of praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Get beyond your feelings. Yeah. So we're going to stand, and we're going to just sing. Give us the C chord on the piano, please, Sister Grace, so that we start off in the same chord. And then listen to one another. And let's just see what the Holy Ghost will do. Now, he may do nothing. That's okay. Amen? We're not giving to get. We're giving to give. Because he is worthy of all of our praise. Let's stand, shall we? Brother McCurry may remain seated. Strike that chord loud.